Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's a great honor to be here. Again, I must tell you, it's overwhelming to be speaking in the presence of Daddy. Thank you, sir, for being a covering for not just our father, but a clan. We know that we enjoy what we enjoy because we have a rich and a thick covering over us. It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much, Daddy. Thank you for having me. And I want to appreciate the leadership of the Dynamic Youth. Thank you for having me. It's a great honor. Please lift your hands toward heaven and worship the Lord. Talk to Him quickly this morning. We have just 1 hour. So talk to the Lord.
Talk to the Lord. Minister to the Lord this morning from the depth of your heart, that your spirit will be open to receive the word of life with meekness. Talk to Him. Don't be quiet. Spirits are committed to our words. He said, I am the Lord that performeth the words of my servants and the counsels of my messengers. When you begin to talk, spirits begin to walk. So go ahead and minister to the Lord. Don't be quiet, please. Don't be quiet. Talk to Him. Manovara hazidi havate lebanai. Imanova harise fakodia. Elakazidi vanase fataharis. Radozovonde ki parada sadina mane. River flow, let eternal river flow in your church once again. Let eternity be seen. River flow, let eternal river flow in your church once again. Let eternity be seen. River,
oh, river flow.
Let eternal river flow in your church once again.
Let eternity be seen.
River flow, let eternal. Holy Spirit, for another opportunity to receive. We give you praise, dear Heavenly Father, and we ask that this morning you open our eyes, furnish us with understanding, and again prepare us for the assignment you have for us, and help us, teach us to love you and to walk with you in fear and trembling. Take all the praise, take all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please, you may be seated. We began by explaining the place and the necessity of power in advancing the kingdom of God. And it's important for us to understand that we did not come here by chance. We did not come here by mistake. We came here by definite and deliberate plan of God. And every one of us that is here, there is a divine agenda allocated to you alone. God does not waste. If He brought you here, it's because there is a definite purpose that only you can fulfill. The worst thing that will happen to you as an individual is to walk through time without fulfilling purpose. You would not have lived at all. Because life in the realm of God is not breath. Life in the realm of God is actually the ability to do the will of the Father. It was Dr. Miles Monroe, of blessed memory, that shared the story. He said he took out time. One evening he was just strolling after a ministration and he walked into a tomb. And he was looking at different graves and their epitaphs. And the Lord began to speak to him and said, most of these people did not live on earth. And he said, Lord, they lived, they died, and their epitaph is a proof that they were actually on earth. And God said, they didn't fulfill purpose. So they walked through time, but they didn't know why they came, and they did not fulfill the purpose for which they came. And it was that day he propounded his theory that the richest resource on earth is not in the gold mines. That the greatest resources you find on earth, unfortunately, are in the graves. That in the grave you find songs that were never sung, books that were never written, purposes that were never fulfilled, because men come into time and they forget the reason for which they were born. And so the Bible said, him that liveth for pleasure is dead while he walketh. So man can be breathing, yet he is called dead in the realm of God. So it's important for us to understand that there is a definite purpose for which we've come here to fulfill. But you see, that you discover purpose is not proof or guarantee that you will fulfill it. Because there are contrary forces that are out to negate the fulfillment of your purpose. The Bible said the devil cometh not but for. What a strange agenda. The devil does not have an agenda of his own. He came not but for to ensure that you don't fulfill yours. The reason is because his own verdict have already been passed. The devil already knows where he's going. He's already doomed from the realm of God. So it will be a waste for him to have a personal agenda. So the agenda the devil sustains is to ensure that you don't fulfill yours. So he said, the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus made us understand. He said, I am come that you might have life, and that you may have life to the full, abundant life. So we said, there are forces in this world that wants to ensure that you never fulfill destiny. And it does not begin with man. So I took us back to the book of Genesis, that before the beginning of creation, the visible realm, there was already a contention in the realm of God. And iniquity was found in Lucifer, the son of the morning. And he wanted to overthrow the government of God. And when he was cast from the realm of God, he was very creative in his assignment, so much so that he deceived one third of the angels. So before he left heaven, he made sure one third of the angels did not fulfill their eternal mandate. And when he showed up on the earth, from the realm of God, a decree was passed and they said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. Woe unto them. For the great deceiver has come. And the assignment remains the same. To ensure that you fail, and you fail woefully. And we said, the only resource of God that we have found potent from scripture, not just to stop the agenda of God, but to fulfill the, not just to stop the agenda of the devil, but to fulfill the agenda of God, the devil notwithstanding, is a resource called power. So when a man carries the instrument of power, it doesn't matter if the devil is present or not. So he said, the light shines in the darkness. The darkness is present. He said, but the light shines in the darkness. And he said, the darkness comprehends it not. That means, by reason of power, there is no excuse for failure. The presence of power makes failure inexcusable before God. Because power makes you advance, the devil notwithstanding. And so we said, it is very important for us, therefore, to understand the economy of power. How to tap into that frequency and how to use it. Not for show, Not for show, no. Not to become a superstar among people, no. But to establish the mandate and the dominion of God. Because without power, it's impossible to advance the agenda of God. So I showed us the seven realms of power so that we will know that power is not for a show. So that we will know that for a man to be placed in authority does not make him special or make him a god or a lord over people, but is a place of service. Because that man that have received authority have received what it takes to advance kingdom. So I said, God began to show me different realms of power. And the first realm of power God showed me, he said, is the power to rule over the demonic realm. When a man sustains authority in the demonic realm. Now, this has nothing to do with emotion. Because you can cry, you can weep, yet you'll be oppressed by demons. Meanwhile, you can be laughing and oppressing devils. You can put your hands in your pocket and cast out demons. Meanwhile, somebody else can be crying and yet not cast out devils. So emotion is not what makes it happen. Whether laughter or crying is not a factor. It's whether power is present. And when power is present, the first proof that power is present is that man has authority and dominion over the demonic realm. So you can shout as loud as you want. If you don't rule over demons, there's no power. You can do the shows you want to do. If demons are not oppressed, there is no power. Meanwhile, demons can be oppressed, there is no show. Somebody can be in captivity for 20 years, and a man of authority can come and say, peace be still. And there will be no show. The person will leave, you will say the atmosphere is dry, but instantly, his resort will become a report card that something has changed. So there was no activity around what happened, but his resort is a testimony that power was manifested. So we said the first layer of power is authority over the demonic realm. There are many families today that are going through crisis because there is no man of authority in that family. There are many good businesses today that have crumbled, not because the principles were not obeyed, but because a demon sat on the business and ensured it doesn't work. And the reason the business crumbled is because there is no man of authority. So the first way to bring light is when we can rule over the demonic realm. And I said the second realm of power is the ability to cause creation to conform to the will of God. Because the earnest expectation of creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. I'm talking like this because it's a youth meeting. You know, we reduce spiritual things to excitement and euphoria. So when you start screaming or certain things begin to happen, that's when we wake up. No. That's beautiful. That's nice. But it's beyond that. The second realm of power is the ability to cause creation or to bring liberty to creation, thereby causing creation to conform to the will of God. So when you see a man who can create changes in society, when you see a man who can create changes in a territory, that's a man of power. The man may not be screaming, he may not be overly loud, but when he speaks, things happen. You know a man of power have come on the scene. And I said the third realm of power is beyond storms, is beyond visible manifestation. The third realm of power is the ability to tame the flesh. The third realm of power is the ability to bring yourself under the government of God. Because a man can be doing exploit, yet is a puppet in the hands of the spirit. So that man comes for a miracle service, people are healed, he goes back and fornicates the same night. So he doesn't know power. He's at the elementary level of power. Because it is more powerful for a man to tame the flesh than to take a city. So the third realm of power is the ability to rule the flesh. There are certain people that for 10 years they've not been able to tame anger. Meanwhile, anger have destroyed their very family. And then they come and say, this is my anger. This is my anger. You need power to rule over it. Because a point comes when a demon is enthroned over that anger. And every time the devil wants to damage things, all he needs to do is to touch that body. And the things you have built for 5 years, you will use anger to destroy in a moment. So your 5 years was a rat race. You took a step forward and you took 3 steps backward. You can go for a miracle service, but that anger will destroy the same ministry that you built for 20 years. So a man attains a higher cadre of power when he's able to tame the flesh. And I said the fourth realm of power is hunger for God and His presence. There are many people today that they take a gift from God and they take off from God, and God never sees them again. These ones are not sons, they are hirelings. The Bible said God gave gifts to the sons of Keturah, but for Isaac He gave the promise. So the hirelings can take the gift and run away. They have no relationship. Meanwhile, in the realm of God, relationship is superior to manifestation. That's why the first power we receive is to become the sons of God, not to raise the dead. He said, as many as believe, to them He gave power to become the sons of God. So a man is powerful to the degree of hunger that he has for God. So there are certain people, they can go for a crusade, raise the dead, they are not moved by it. You will read in scriptures many times, Jesus goes for a meeting, everywhere is packed, everybody is healed, and then He sneaks through the back door and He's on the mountain praying, and He's praying all night. Meanwhile, we are a generation where when we finish a powerful meeting, the next 1 month, we are showcasing the things that happened in that meeting. Even the miracles that happen in the meeting, we separate it. And the first miracle that go online is the blind eyes are open. When we create a lot of noise, after 3 days, we now upload the one of deaf ears. After 3 days, we now upload the one of the lame walking. Because we have camped our tent around that manifestation. Meanwhile, since that meeting finished, we have not gone to the presence of God. And then when you check your report card in heaven, you failed. I'm telling you, I do it. I do what I'm telling you until God began to teach me. You leave one meeting and then you are hovering around everywhere waiting to receive the praise of men. And then you are hearing people say, oh boy, this guy is powerful. Ah! And when you hear it, the unfortunate thing is that your report card is not on earth. If your report card were to be on earth, that would have been good. But your report card is in heaven. So you finish the meeting, you didn't go back to the one that sent you. You are already on your own. So many people, in a bid to work for God, they stop working with God. So they don't have power with God. It is better to work with God than to work for God. So the fourth realm of power is hunger for the presence. Meanwhile, if you check our motives carefully, the reason we go to God is to receive. And the moment we receive from God, we run away. So we use God. We don't have a relationship with God. But a man becomes powerful when he stops using God and he begins to walk with God. That's the fourth realm of power. And I said the fifth realm of power is the realm of humility. A man comes to a point where he's so lost in God that is, there is nothing he can boast about. For him, it's all about God. When it's not God, it's nothing. So this is the subject we are dealing with. So when I start talking power, please don't be carried away to think I'm talking about manifestations alone. No, I'm talking about the spiritual resource that makes for a perfect man. We are an arrogant generation. I'm sorry to say, we are an arrogant generation. We say what we want, we do what we want. We cannot be tamed. And the reason is because we are high-minded. The moment you begin to hear and you can pick somebody's name, nobody can talk to you anymore. The moment you go for a meeting and one fractured bone is healed, nobody can talk to you anymore. You too have become a father. And then a man who has not yet been discipled have 500 children. And then he comes online and says, this is my son, your son. When you are still wearing pampers, you use a gift to qualify yourself as a father. You have not yet been tried. There is no humility, we are arrogant. So most times, even God is afraid of giving us things. Because He knows what we are asking for. If He gives us, it will destroy us. So the reason sometimes our prayer is not answered is so that we'll be safe. Because the day God answers our prayer, God has destroyed us. There's no humility. We are too boastful. We are too arrogant. And I said the fifth realm of power is brokenness. Brokenness is not to count yourself to have any reputation. It's a state where you are all God says you are. That's the realm of Philippians 2, 5 to 9. You don't hold on to anything. You don't cleave to any right. Because you don't think you have any reputation. It's what God says you are that you are. I'm telling you, these things I'm outlining, there are many people that will never attain it in life. Because in the realm of God, the higher you go, the weaker you become. Because a point comes when God becomes your all. You know, as young people, we come for meeting, we force the hand of God. I'm a traveling minister. There are places you come and even your host put pressure on you. If you don't manifest, you are finished. So God is not moving. God said, talk to the people, but you must create an impression. And even though the Holy Ghost is not moving, you are moving. You are still strong in yourself. You have not yet ascended in the realm of God. When you begin to grow in the realm of God, you become weaker. Because God alone will become your strength. That's a broken man. And I said, the seventh realm of power is the realm of love. That time the man has become like the God that he serves. He has put on the nature of God. When a man attains that level, he has power. That's the kind of man that we say, the devil cometh to me and findeth nothing. And in order to grow on this cadre, the dimension of power that we will look into is the authority dimension of power. Because in the dynamics dimension of power, you can't stir yourself. And we will do that in the evening. Because evening is a night of manifestation. You are excited because you like that time. The dynamics dimension of power, you can provoke yourself and make things happen. But in the exousia dimension of power, you are a puppet. So you learn to wait on God. If God doesn't move, you don't move. If God doesn't speak, you don't speak. It's a state where a man is consciously disadvantaged so that God can become his advantage. It is very hard. And I want to share with us this morning again. I can easily get inspired. But God is compelling me to share this again. He said, talk to them again about authority. And I want to show you the pathway to spiritual authority. I'll be very brief. I may quote a lot of scriptures, but go back and study. The Bible said the Berean Christians were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Because after that Paul spoke to them, they went back to search the scriptures to see if the things he said were so. So I'll give you scriptures. Go home, look at it, and pattern your life. You will be amazed what will become. The big thing. Because a sinner can manifest, a child can manifest, but fathers, they have become. You will notice that becoming is a bigger molecule in this kingdom than manifestation. Meanwhile, as a young man, press for manifestation. Don't negate it at all. I am not saying negate it. I press for it every day. And we see a little of it. But I'm telling you how to grow. So I outline four items here that makes for growth in power, in authority. And the first is the new birth. A man will never have authority with God unless he's born of God. Our induction into authority is the new birth experience. So if a man is not born again, he doesn't have authority in the realm of God. And if a man has authority in the realm of God, it's also a sign that he's born of God. So the Bible said in John chapter 1, from verse 11, He said he came unto his own, but his own knew him not. He said, but as many as received him, to them he gave authority to become the children of God. To them he gave authority. So everybody that is born of God have authority. The problem is the problem of misunderstanding or lack of understanding. So most people that are being tormented by demons today are actually supposed to be oppressors of demons, but they don't understand how authority works in the kingdom. They feel that they have to do something to be able to have authority. They don't know that being born of God already brings them into the realm of authority. So when the devil comes, the devil deceives them. So sometimes when they feel something, they now assume they have authority. So when the guy is excited, he can speak boldly. But when he's depressed, the same person that spoke boldly begins to speak in fear, begins to speak in uncertainty. And everything he says, they pick it and take it to the demonic realm. And they say, this man doesn't know what he has. And because he doesn't know what he has, let's create a negative pattern around him so that that pattern will enslave him for a long time. So every day he's walking in uncertainty and in fear when he should be ruling over the demonic realm. In Luke chapter 10 verse 19, Jesus revealed to us, he sent out his disciples, and the Bible said they were children. They were babes. He said he gave them power over serpents and scorpions. And these guys went out into different territories. And when they returned, all of them came back with the testimony of victory. And they were rejoicing that demons were subject to them. Why? Because even they did not know. Jesus just gave them authority and they believed Jesus. And they ran with that authority. And they were casting out demons. And when they came back to Jesus, the Bible said, that very hour, Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, I give you thanks, O Father, that you have revealed these things to babes. So they were not necessarily men of stature in the kingdom, but God gave them authority. Because when a man is born of God, it's an induction into the realm of authority. But see the problem with these guys, they didn't grow in authority. So the same people that cast out devils few days ago, few weeks ago, Jesus went to the mountain to pray, and then a man brought his child who was deaf and dumb, and they began to struggle. And when Jesus came, he said, you are a perverse generation. And Jesus was bitter and angry at them. Because they came to Jesus, why couldn't we cast out this devil? He said, because of your unbelief. All of a sudden, they now felt they needed to do something else in addition to what was given to them. And they started struggling. And Jesus was angry. So most of the things that happen to you that you should address, that you are running to God crying, God is looking at you and like, what kind of child is this? That's why Jesus said to you, he said, don't talk to God about the mountain. You talk to the mountain. If you don't have authority, it will be a setup. Jesus said, if you tread upon scorpions and serpents, they shall not bite you. So God is telling you to dare the devil. If you don't have authority, that would be a terrible setup. A mountain is standing before you, and instead of crying to God, he said, don't talk to God. He said, talk to the mountain. And say to the mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. And if you do not doubt in your heart, he shall. Why will it be done? Because you have the authority to address the mountain. Most times, when we teach mysteries among children, it becomes a burden for them. Because the very basic things no longer make sense to them. The simple instruction of God that a man should run with, he now loses those instructions because he's looking for the unknown. That's why Paul said, we speak mystery among them that are perfect. Because when you speak mystery among babes, they begin to trivialize the things that is meant for their success. That's why even right now, some people are not so blessed. They want me to talk about the angelic patterns. They want me to talk about the dimensions of the heavens. They want me to talk about the secret things for the ages to come. And when you are saying it, even though they are not understanding it, they are jumping. And because they feel they have entered something. If you will take the simple word of God and go to your business and say, in the name of Jesus, I command you, begin to prosper. And you don't relent. In the name of Jesus, I command you, begin to prosper. You will be amazed what will happen to your business after 3 weeks. If you go to your family, your child is misbehaving, and you are reporting that child to everywhere, everybody. You are looking for the prophets to come and talk to the child, the apostles to come and talk to the child. If you will stand up in the night and say, Nathaniel, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I rebuke arrogance from your mind. I decree that from today, your path is straightened, and you do it for 3 weeks. You will be amazed. Your arrogant child will wake up and come to you and say, Mommy, good morning. And you'll be like, what has happened? The demon that was manipulating him, you left the child and you went to the realm of that demon and you addressed that demon. They are troubling you in your office. You lie down, you are crying. You are crying. Oh Lord, come and help me. Help who? The power to make the difference has already been given to you. So you wake up in the evening and then you assemble all of them and you say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I end this manipulation. I thwart the counsel of Ahithophel. I decree that there be peace. And you will be amazed. That's how you grow in authority. But many people trivialize the privileges they have in the new bed. Meanwhile, it's because you don't know what God went through to give birth to you. You know, if you didn't carry a child for 9 months and go through the labor room, you won't know what it takes to give birth to a child. You don't know what God went through to give birth to you. When man fell, God went through the greatest reproach for man to be born again. And if God had to die for man to be born, there is nothing strong enough to kill man. A man for whom God died to be born, that man is walking afraid of death. He doesn't know what he carries. So even before God, when we come, I'm not talking against reverence. It's one thing to revere God, and it's another thing to be timid because you don't know who you are. He said, come boldly before the throne of grace and obtain help. Come boldly. Imagine if your child came to you in the morning and said, please, daddy, I need breakfast. Breakfast. Are you okay? You'll start checking his temperature. What is wrong with you? Daddy, please, this business must work. Business. My jealousy is already invested. Because you touch it, it must work. So when I come before the business, I come to command it to work. And as you don't do it, you will never grow in it. That's why I say strong meat belongs to them who by reason of use, not by reason of much hearing, by reason of use, have exercised their senses to discern between good and evil. Many have not used what they have. That's why every time is new to them. Every time is new. Somebody is before a demon possessed and then he starts speaking in tongues. He thinks when he speaks in tongues for 3 hours, that's when he will cast out the demon. He's trying to apply dunamis where he should apply exousia. When you come before a demon, you command the demon. Because you are dealing with that demon by authority. Imagine if the president of this country were to give announcement, and then before he gives announcement, he needs to go and fast for 1 day. And then he comes to address the nation. Or your governor. Have you noticed that most of the things this leader signed shows that there's no wisdom in it? Because most times, people who understand authority is when they are drunk, they now go to them and say, sign this document. And they don't even read through it, they sign it. Because they have signed it from the place of authority, it's binding. So you see certain things, you know that guy, this thing was a manipulation. But believers have not even begun the induction phase of authority. They've not begun to exercise the authority they have by reason of the new birth. So we want to excite ourselves, we want to do a lot of activities, hoping that the more we do, the more we will have authority. It's not true. So somebody needs to wake up today and tell himself, I am an heir of God. And the Bible said we are joint heirs with Christ. There are certain things you can't say because it will be heresy. It will sound heretic to one who has not experienced. He said we are joint heirs with Christ. If you were to meditate on that scripture, Romans 8:17, it will take you a lifetime to know what Jesus has right over. And for the Bible to say you co-inherit with Christ is a fearful thing. It's a fearful thing. To hear that you co-inherit with Christ is a fearful thing. And he went further and said, we are heirs of God. You know what that means? You are joint heir with Christ. It's a fearful thing. Meanwhile, somebody who is a joint heir with Christ comes to a place and is afraid. No wonder I say God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. The word is sophronismos. There's nothing the devil throws at me that can intimidate me. I refuse to be intimidated, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And that's why he said in 1 John 4 verse 4 and 5 verse 4, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. So you only need to be born of God. The moment you are born of God, you overcome the world. These are the basics of the gospel, yet people don't understand it. These are the basics. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. How come you are a slave of the world? Because you don't know who you are in Christ. The first journey into authority is the new birth. The second journey in authority is alignment. When you begin to go higher in the cadres of authority, you will understand that there are many intricacies. At the place of the new birth, you know, when you are a child, you come up in the morning, say, Daddy, I want bread. Say, take bread. Daddy, I want to go out now. Go out. Daddy, I want this. Daddy, I want that. Take. When you reach 2 years, if you say, Daddy, I want to eat, Daddy will ask you, have you swept the parlor? You know why? Because you are about to wield higher authority. So when you grow in authority, higher realms of authority requires higher realms of alignment. A child can do what he wants. They will let go of it. But not a son. You come, you say, I want a car. What do you want to use it for? Now there has to be a justifiable reason why you need a car. Meanwhile, a baby cannot ask the father for a car, because the car will destroy the child. But when a man comes and says, I need a car, sometimes the father may even tell him, go and buy your own. Go and work for it. Because as you grow in authority, it requires alignment. You know, I didn't understand this. As a young believer, I saw things happen effortlessly. Sometimes I even woke up and when the weather is thick, I say, don't rain. And the weather will, everything will go back. I told my friend, anything I say happens. I will wake up in the morning, there is no money. I say, angels of wealth, I need money. It won't take 5 minutes, somebody will call me and say, send your account number. I say, what? Anything I say works. I go to a place, somebody is sick. I say, no now. How can you be sick? I'll just touch the person. Sickness is gone. I say, nothing is impossible to them that believe. And I became a commander. After a while, when I started working with God, a point came before I go out. The same meetings that I will not pray, and stroll to the meeting and say, Lord, I command sickness. Sickness will go. Now, before I come for a meeting, The Holy Ghost will keep me in the room and say, pray. And I will pray until the burden in my heart will be lifted. If it is not lifted, if I come for that meeting, I will command 20 times, nothing will happen. And I went to God and said, are the scriptures a lie? God now told me, I don't only want you to have results, I want you to grow. So when you begin, you will discover everything you ask is at your beck and call. But when you begin to grow, God begins to place demands on you. And the degree to which you attend to the demands of God is the degree to which you see answers to your commandments. So I now realize that growth in authority has to do with alignment. And if you don't grow in alignment, you will not grow in authority. I know a lot of people, they say what they want, assuming that it doesn't matter. When you start growing, a point comes when, even if you talk too much, the Holy Ghost will be grieved. And because you spoke too much, the Holy Ghost will hide in you. Until you pacify him, he will no longer move. A point will come when you are in a service, the power of God is moving, and then you just made an arrogant statement. And in a moment, the whole place dries up. Meanwhile, when you were a baby, you said whatever you want, it didn't affect the atmosphere. Now, God is moving, and you just made an arrogant statement. And suddenly, the Holy Ghost withdraws. And then in that same meeting, if you are not smart to begin to worship or beg, nothing happens again. And I'll say, what is going on? And God said, in order for you to grow, he has to regulate your manifestation based on your obedience. So as you grow in authority, you now discover that authority is predicated on the degree of obedience. That's why many people begin as high flyers. After a while, they vanish. Because when they come to the point where their manifestation is predicated upon their obedience, they no longer fulfill their obedience. So their manifestation is withdrawn and they vanish from the scene. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3 to 5, the Bible began to educate us. It said, casting down imagination and every high standing thing that opposes itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing all things to captivity. And he now added a small clause for the mature. He said, when your obedience is fulfilled, then you will be able to avenge all other disobedience. So as you grow in authority, you cannot be a representative of God until God can vet you and approve of you. So you will discover that your manifestation becomes directly proportional to your obedience. This is where many people are lost. I read scriptures and I became afraid. It was Jesus that said in John 5:36, he said, John had a witness. He said, but I have a greater witness than John. He said, the work that my Father have sent me, even the work that I must finish, they bear witness of me. And the point came, there was a realm of authority that Jesus needed to acquire for man. And suddenly, the Almighty Jesus that decreed everything and it happened, could not acquire that authority for humankind until he passed the test of the cross. And Jesus will say in Matthew chapter 26 verse 39 and 42, Father, let this cup pass me by, but not my will, thine. And Jesus and God will remain at that spot. Power can never come. All power will never come until on this matter you are lying. And Jesus will go three times to pray a prayer that will not be answered. Until that cup, he drinks of it. And I saw Jesus submit to the will of the Father. And when he rose from the dead, in Matthew 28 verse 18, Jesus will show up and say, all power, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Why was he given to me, to him? Let thy will be done. So the key into all authority is let thy will be done. So as you grow in authority in your life, you will discover that whenever you want to leap into a higher realm of authority, God will bring another government. If you do not fulfill that obedience, you will see it, the season will pass you by. and you will journey with God. After 3 years, you will arrive that location again, and the same instruction God gave you will appear before you. Many years ago, I was pursuing God with so much hunger as I am today. And one day I was going home and I heard, leave, and he called the name of a damsel. And he said, you will see my power in your life. And then I asked, I said, what doctrine is this? Because when I checked, he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Where is it written that I must leave a gear for power to come upon my life? I said, this is the voice of the devil. I went and checked myself. I said, I'm not doing anything with this lady. So what kind of talk is this? Meanwhile, I wanted to marry this lady. This like 6 years ago. How can you say I should leave a lady before I enter power? What doctrine is this? I was around that mountain for 6 months. And I kept running round one mountain. Every time you refuse. I'm saying this because most of us young people here, there's a ministry resting upon us, waiting to manifest. But that ministry will not manifest because hands are laid on you. That ministry will manifest when your obedience is fulfilled, for that betting to take place. And I revolved around that mountain for a long time. After 6 months, every time I come to church and I ascend in the spirit, leave and you will see my power in your life. When I descend, I will become normal. It will become normal. I'll be doing my thing. But any day I genuinely pray and I ascend, that gate will never open until I called the lady and told her, you see, I'm a priest. I said, I'm a priest. And there is a commandment before me. If I will grow, I have to obey. That was, I died because my soul was tied to this lady. The love of God had become the love of the damsel. And the jealous God showed up and said, leave. I'm telling you, there are many of you here that you have violated commandments upon commandments. That's why you are where you are. If you don't pass this one, if you pass the other one, it will be a waste. Commandments upon commandments. There are certain people. Imagine your destiny. The hope of your destiny is placed on a relationship, a flimsy relationship with a boy who is not even interested in marrying you. And then you refuse. After 3 years, you now break up. You now discover that you wasted 3 years of your life. If you were wise, you would have left that relationship. And that 3 years, you would have gained mileage with God. But when the devil comes to manipulate you, he ties you to things. And when God speaks, you will refuse to obey. And the more you refuse, the more you put your life at the halt. I became wise. Leave, and you will see my power in your life. I couldn't explain the doctrine at the time, but I moved in the spirit because my authority was tied to my obedience. Is there a place where you are disobeying God? It's not God that will suffer. It's called Ancient of Days. When you pass, your passage is like a dot. You are the one who is working with time. You are the one who have age. God doesn't have age. You are the one who was 20 years old and in 10 years you'll be 30. You are the one who is 35 and in 10 years you'll be 45. Meanwhile, between when you were born and when you die, God is the same. So who should obey? And then you are doing it in the secret. And things are going wrong and you don't advise yourself. You go, you study all the doctrine, you go to the Bible school, you go to the school of ministry, you come with a bishopric, you are wearing collar, yet the thing is not working because God is standing somewhere, he will never move. Even Jesus went 3 times, he didn't move, he stood there because the will of God is the realm of God. And then you want God to shift. You don't know the meaning of Ancient of Days. Go and study it. That's why I preach alignment everywhere. Because I know that one of the quickest keys for promotion is alignment. I have had people accuse me, lie against me, and summon me to authority. And sometimes I will be angry. And when I want to speak, the Holy Ghost says, keep quiet, apologize. My big head will say, what am I apologizing for? I need to understand why I must apologize. Do you not know that this is unjust? I want to explain the legalities around the case. He said, keep quiet, apologize. And the reason I grow fast is because I go through crisis a lot. And when I go through crisis, it becomes a ground of promotion. I want to react. He said, keep quiet. And every time I keep quiet, God speaks. And the way God speaks is by promotion. So yesterday you were healing headache. And God said, keep quiet. And after you kept quiet, you came for the meeting, you preached the same message, you spoke the same word, and this time deaf ear opened. So you didn't open deaf ears because you studied healing 101. You opened deaf ears because you kept quiet. Meanwhile, in some of these cases, I'm guilty. You know, young people are arrogant. There are times when I get angry. Even with the ministry where I'm serving, I'll come home, I'll lament. Why are they doing this? Why can't this be? Why should this be? This is wrong. When I finish talking, God will say, go and repent. When I repent, say, take a seed, go and give. Oh, and sometimes in your guilty state, they call you. And then you want to, he said, beg, beg, beg. If you don't beg, you are removing credit from your name in the spirit. This one has nothing to do with Rema. It's a journey in authority. So you can come and preach fire, but you will be small in the spirit. Your weight will be light. The reason is because God doesn't have rule over you. You may be used to a realm. You may be used to some kind of messages. You may be used to fire. You will be burning like this. Nobody will hear you. You are wondering, is this a message that these people preach and they hear them? No, now I'm disappointed. Have you not gone? I said, few years ago, when I come for a meeting and I see people gather, and then sometimes these men of authority will just come, put their hand on the pulpit and say, how are you doing? And they will tell two, three stories. I say, God bless you, God bless you. There we go. I will say, what did this person preach? And now their lives is not about the message, it's who is talking. Meanwhile, this story that this person told and say, you are blessed. When they begin to take testimonies, you now discover demons don't hear English language. Demons hear spirit and life. So when the man speaks, the weight of life and spirit that is released, even if you preach for 5 days, you can't release that measure. So when he says, thank you, Jesus, he has released a bandwidth that will take you 1 year to release. So your whole messages for 1 year will be put together before you emit that energy that he emitted by saying, thank you, Jesus. Because when he spoke, all his cars in the spirit are talking. So when God looks at him and hears what he says, God remembers the 600 times when he died to himself in order to obey God's will. So that man doesn't need so much talking. He only needs to command, because he has mastered the way of alignment. The way of alignment is the journey into power. The more rebellious we are, thinking that by revelation we will become something, the more backward we will become. That's why our generation, we know so much, yet we don't have so much. We say so much, yet what we have to show is little. Can't you see the contradiction? A father will come. I saw Dr. Paul Enetche's crusade. He just came out and blew his sacks. And when he blew his sacks, he said, oh, the weight of glory is here. The weight of glory is here. Jesus, Jesus. Ay, 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 ay. And before I knew what was happening, I saw over 7 clutches. Another woman was pushing wheelchair already. I was taught from Bible school that if you want to see healing, preach on healing. So that the faith of the people can rise. What? How can you play a musical instrument? Meanwhile, before he came up, there were 2 keyboardists playing. There was a drummer. Somebody else was playing the same sax. Meanwhile, 7 music ministers were playing. Nothing happened.
But one man came and added his own sound. And when he was playing his own sax, heaven was hearing obedience, death, power, glory. So, as you increase in skill, also increase in authority. That's why when God wants to help you, he gives you commandments. A miracle service that you need everywhere to be charged for things to happen. You just come and say, Jesus is Lord. And then, you can't contain it anymore. Authority. Our generation don't know it. There's no alignment. There's no alignment. The third indicator for growth in authority is to bear the reproach of Christ. Is to bear the reproach of Christ. See, we have become very selfish and very self-centered, that all we do is for our own gain. That's why even in church, when you call for a vigil, you won't see half of the church. But when you call for a miracle service, it will be packed to the end. Because people only want to receive from God. People don't want to bear the burdens of God. People don't want to bear the reproach of God. So when you see people doing things for God, they are doing it until they stop having benefits. The moment they stop having benefit, they stop. So you see a man zealous for God until reproach comes, until persecution comes, until crisis comes. He doesn't want to dent his image. He doesn't want his integrity to be affected. No. He doesn't want. That's why we don't go anywhere. The Bible spoke concerning Moses. It said when Moses was come of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt, which is but for a moment. He said, for he bore the reproach of Christ. He had more recompense for the reward. How much can you take for God? How much can you endure because of God? Are you able to put your life on the line because of God? Are you able to receive the hatred, the insult, the allegations of the world because of Jesus? Many can't do it because we have become selfish. The nature of mentoring that we receive today is different from the mentoring that the fathers gave. So when you see people shouting in the church, it's because they are prophesying over them. When you see people screaming in the church, it's because they are receiving something. But the moment you say God wants something, everywhere goes dead. The moment you say God wants something, instantly joy vanishes from the church. And that's the nature of mentoring people have received. How then can you expect that this same kind of people can bear the reproach of Christ? Meanwhile, this is what works glory for us. It was Peter that said, when we bear the reproach of Christ, it's a testimony that the spirit of glory is upon us. So men can never grow in authority until they come to a point where they tell themselves, I will bear the cost. If it's for Jesus, I am willing to let go of everything. Whatever it costs, I will not think twice. I can bear it. That's a man God can invest authority on. That's a man God can generously pour out everything upon. When God sees a selfish man, it becomes difficult for God to bless him, because he thinks all he received from God is for himself. But when a man becomes selfless, he journeys to a point where he doesn't even bother to have a stain because of Christ. This is the way of the apostles. This is how they live their lives. In Acts chapter 15 verse 26, Paul said, the Bible said, Paul and Barnabas. He said, these are the men. He said, these be the men that hazarded their lives for the gospel. Today, if it will cost you something, you become careful. And you hear things like, wisdom is profitable to direct. But what we call wisdom is the wisdom of this world. It is sensual. We can't bear the reproach of God. What have you endured for God? If you check your walk with God, what has happened to you because of God? What are the scars? What are the sacrifices? What are the perils you have gone through because of God. Christianity is all about playing safe and trying to succeed. So we end up using God for a lifetime. But we cannot grow like that. We can't be strong like that. When Paul walked the path of reproach, he came to the end of his ministry. He said, I've run the race. I have kept the faith. He said, there remained for me a crown of life. So Paul knew he had authority, not just among men, but even among angels. He said, there is a crown of life awaiting me. This may not be very exciting, but this is the way to power. This is the way to stardom in the realm of God. The reproach of Christ. And finally, the way to authority is the way of honor. He said, in 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30, he said, whoever honors me, I will honor. But whoever despises me shall be lightly esteemed. Most times we do the things we do because the fear of God is not there. So a man can afford to do what he wants, despicable things, and then he comes to the altar and he's screaming. He goes to the office, he's talking about God. He's not afraid. He doesn't honor God. Because honor in the realm of God is not to just sing praises. Honor in the realm of God is reverence. To tremble at the presence of God. To tremble. We have come to a point now that we are so familiar with God that even when God is speaking, people can be operating their phones. And they are checking some things online, some stuff online. Somebody is in church. He's doing other businesses in church. And then when he needs the investment of God's honor and jealousy, he thinks when he cries and naked himself by 12 midnight, God will answer. You will be lightly esteemed. Because the God you are calling, you don't know him. If you know him, the first sign that you know him is that you will tremble at his presence. When a generation don't honor God, that's a generation that is doomed. Because they cannot see God appear on the scene when God is needed. We despise God so much in our generation. And yet we expect to see the power of God. That's why we pray. It looks as if there are no answers. Because the God we are calling, we don't fear him. So even what we are saying, we don't believe it. Because if you believe what you say God can do, your response to God will be different. You are saying God is a consuming fire, and you throw in God's presence with your hand in your pocket. God is talking. You are operating your phone, and you are calling. You say that God is a consuming fire. You don't believe it. That's why when you say you consume your enemies, nothing happens. Because you don't believe it. You say God is terrible in war, and yet the same God, you come before him, you are casual. You don't believe what you are saying. Because if you believe, the moment you come, you will tremble at his presence. That's the testimony that you believe what you say. And in the equation of honor, we don't only honor God, we honor men that are ahead of us. Many people are expecting to enter into graces and into dimension. They will never. Because dishonor will make sure the door is locked permanently. Every time a man dishonors authorities, he locks the door to his promotion. Because if God himself will resist that person. You know, when you begin to talk about honoring men, because our generation is so arrogant, we say you are preaching men. But that's a lie. That's why we don't have much to show. The Bible said in Acts chapter 9 verse 4 and 5, Jesus appeared to Paul on his way to Damascus. They glorified Christ. And Jesus told Saul, he said, go into the city. You will be told what you will do. How can a man meet Jesus Christ? And Jesus refers a man to another man. I thought the peak and the zenith of encounter is when you meet the Lord Jesus. How come somebody meets Jesus, not strolling in human form? Jesus appeared from heaven with a light so bright that blinded Paul. Yet this glorified Christ have recognition for structure, because Paul was in the premise of Damascus, and in that territory the ruler over Damascus was another man. So God told him, before you can be relevant in this territory, there is somebody that I have invested authority over. In Damascus there is a man called Ananias. He is the watcher over that city. I can't do anything with you within the perimeter of Damascus until you go to Ananias. So even though he met Jesus, Jesus had regard for spiritual authority. He said, go to the city. You'll be told what to do. You tell yourself you are a healing minister, and you talk against an authority in healing. You are joking. The angels of healing will be withdrawn. They will be withdrawn. You may think it's gimmick, but your lack of manifestation will show you that you don't have authority in that realm. You say you are a teacher of the world, and every time you hear an elder talk, you challenge him. You are a joker. You will preach the best messages, but God will not do you the honor of anybody listening to you. So you will preach your message, only you will hear it. Because it's not about the intelligence of the message, it's about the spirit that is being dispensed. Because you are talking the right thing, but your spirit is wrong. If God allows men to listen to you, you will pour out arrogance to a generation. You will pour out reproach to a generation. So God himself will hide you, because you have despised men of authority. He said the army of God will not break their ranks. They will not break their ranks. We are powerful to the degree that we honor authority. David was wise. Even though Saul was in error, he said to the man, Joab, are you not afraid? Even when David caught a part of Saul's garment, he begged in trembling that he had to touch his garment. When Saul died, and the liar ran because he wanted to receive credit and say he killed Saul, David said, what? You are not afraid? You touch the Lord's anointed. He said they should fall upon him. And David wept from morning till night. So when God exalts David and invests his jealousy upon David, it's not because David is fair. It's not because David has long hair. David is a man of honor. He's a man of honor. Most of us have touched too many authorities. That's why we can never be relevant in our generation. When you come for power service, you think it's all about impartation. No, it's not. It's not. There's a mystery that causes men to rise. That mystery is invested in honor. When you honor, you will be exalted. And when a man grows in authority until he can recognize authority in others, then he begins to receive the tokens of authority. If you grow in authority, a point will come where you will recognize authority in others. That's why you honor them. You don't honor them because they are nice to you. You honor them because they are men in authority. And because you are also a man in authority, you will not dishonor a man in authority. If you grow in authority until you get there, then you will receive tokens of authority. There are 5 tokens of authority. The first token of authority is a name. So when God begins to exalt a man, he gives him a name. So he said to Abraham, you shall no longer be called Abraham, but Abraham. And the moment his name changed, he became a father of kings. He said to Peter, you are Simon, but you shall be called a rock. And a point came, because he was exalted, he picked the revelation of the church. And he said, you are Peter. That you are Peter was what made Peter the head of the church. Because a name brings you into authority. That's a token of authority. When you see preachers you run after, you don't run after them necessarily because they have so much. You don't run after them because they have something you've never seen. There is a name that is invested on them. So the moment they show up, that name is an authority in the spirit. And whether you like it or not, that name will command allegiance. It's a token of authority. This is why many people, they run, they never have a name. You can be in the cement business, you will never have a name until you grow in authority. You can be in the market. What will make you stand out in the market is the name that you have. And the point will come, you will have a name so tall in the spirit that your name will become a brand. And your brand will become the sign that that particular business is prospering. When people hear that you invested, whether it is working before or it's not working, they will all invest. Because this name is a weight. It's a token of authority. That's how God blesses men. God doesn't just bless men by giving them money. When God blesses a man, he gives him a name. And even Jesus, when he obeyed authority, he says, so God gave him a name that is above every other name. That at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. At the end of time, the Bible said, everyone that is an overcomer, I will give him a name that no man knoweth. He said, he will give him a white crystal, and upon that crystal, a name will be written on it. One of the ways a man enjoys the dividends of authority is that God gives him a name. There are names that open doors. You think it's arrogance, but it doesn't work like that. There are names that make things to change. But many will never have a name. Because they don't grow in authority. They don't grow. Hard work alone is not enough to make you survive. You need a name. The second token of authority is men. When a man grows in authority, God begins to give him men. Men that will bear the burdens with him. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 22, the Bible said daily men joined themselves to David. That's a man of authority. Until his host became like the host of God. When you want to see a blessed man, find out the quality of men around him. When you want to see a man in authority, find out the quality of men that are around him. A man is never great in isolation. Every great man has a company of mighty men around him. And when the stories of the men of David was told, that's when you will know who David truly was. The Bible said one of them slew 800 men. So one of David's men is equivalent to 800 men. One man. He said Eleazar, the son of Dodo. He took a spear and he fought from morning till night. From morning till night, he slew 800 men. So when David is 30, David is more than a million men. Because when you see 30 men with David, those 30 men can be equivalent to 10 million men. Because one of them is equivalent to a company. So when God blesses a man, when a man grows in authority, one of the tokens of authority that he has is that men join themselves to him. If you are walking alone for a long time, it means you don't have authority. Authority compares the allegiance of men. David said, I wish that I will drink of the wells in the brooks of the Philistine. And three men put their lives in jeopardy. That means what will make David happy to them is more important than their lives. And three men broke through the garrison of the Philistine and brought water for David to drink. Even David knew that this is not water. He said, this is the blood of this man. And he poured it as an oblation before God. So when David is sleeping, he's at rest. When David became old, he went to battle and he was to be killed by the grandson of Goliath. And one of his men rose. His men had become stronger than him. The glory of a strong man is not that he's the strongest. The glory of a strong man is that there are stronger men willing to die for him. There are stronger men serving him with their life. And the guy slew the man that David could not kill. And he said, you will never come to battle again. Let the light in Israel vanish. Because even though they are powerful, they know the authority is with David. Authority commands the allegiance of men. That's why today we lack authority. People are doing all kinds of manipulation, intimidating people, manipulating them to serve them. No, grow up. When you grow, men, their greatest desire will be to see that you are happy. That's the journey of authority. This is how we bring kingdom. Because God needs an army. But only men of authority can coordinate that army. The second thing authority does, the third token of authority is resources. When a man grows into authority, resources migrate in his direction. He said to Abraham in Genesis 17, verse 1 and 2, he said, walk before me and be thou perfect. And he said, I will increase you. I will increase you. When the man grew in authority, God himself increased him. And when Abraham was old, in Genesis 24 verse 1, it said, Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed him in all things. Every resource you need in your life is in the body of Christ. Just grow. Those resources will find you. They will find you. But can God trust you? That's the question. When you grow in authority, you will discover your prayer point is not for resources. They will find you. In Isaiah 51 verse 1 to 3, he said, hearken unto me, all ye that love righteousness, and all ye that love the Lord. He said, look unto Abraham your father, and from the rock where you were hid, for I have called him alone and blessed him, and increased him, and increased him, and increased him. And he said, the Lord shall comfort Zion, and he shall comfort her waste place. He said, her wilderness shall be turned into a forest. Authority brings increase. In Psalm 112 verse 1 to 3, it says, seest thou a man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandment. He said, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. Joy and pleasures forevermore. We walk in scarcity because God can't trust us. God can't trust us. He said, they all sold their goods and brought the money to the feet of the apostles. Authority commands increase. So when God is teaching you the way of authority, there are seasons that will look like drought. But don't worry, you are journeying to the gushing realm of life. Because when you get there, even if all you have is a rock, God will command the rock to bring water. That's the journey of authority. But our generation, we don't want process. We want quick and fix. You just get it quickly and you are running. No. No great man rises like that. No great man rises like that. The fourth token of authority is a grace. When a man begins to grow in authority, a grace rests upon him. That grace becomes his horn. It becomes his horn. There are those that have a grace in the area of the world. God opens scriptures to them. And when they open the scripture, you know God is talking to you. And on the strength of that, they can exercise dominion in the world. There are those that God gives grace over sicknesses and diseases. When they show up, they look like a god beyond before demons. As they are walking into the place, everywhere is just, things just go off. We started hearing the story of Papa. Many years, even when we were children. Those days when you say the word of God, you hear of men like Brother Billy Akani, you hear of men like Dr. John Akpani. You know that these ones, if you want to hear the oracles of God, come and sit down. When they talk, it's like a gusher of water. You may come there with lying in your spirit. You may come there with anger. Wait until they doctor the scripture. You will drop everything at the feet of the master. So they have authority with the word of God. Unless they don't open scripture. Even if you enter as a terrorist, when they are done talking, you will weep and repent. That's an authority. There are those that have authority in the area of sickness. I watched Pastor Chris in healing school. He just walks into the auditorium and demons begin to leave. People on wheelchairs, stand up, stand up. What do you mean stand up? The person has been lame for many years. What do you mean stand up? If he could stand up, will he come here? Stand up. What? How can you tell a lame man to stand up? I can't stand. That's why I'm on a wheelchair. Can't you see me? He's seen from another realm. Because when he talks, he knows heaven's backing. Bishop, you will hear testimonies in living faith. Your head will break. Somebody who is in secondary school doesn't have a house. And then he just comes to church. They release a blessing. As he's going home, a stranger calls him and says, come and take. What's wrong with you? He said, I don't have a house. He said, come. And that's him, 4-bedroom flat. What is that? The man has authority there. So if he says you are blessed, even if you are in the wilderness, God will import trees from the forest and plant them in the wilderness. Because when men of authority talk, God and angels walk. That's the investment of authority. They have power with God. And when that grace begins to speak, whether your generation like it or not, that grace compels them to come under that authority. The last token of authority is influence. You know, it's one thing to have grace, but it's another thing to have influence. Because you can be raising the dead, nobody knows you. Solomon became a king, but it took many years before Solomon began to reign. Influence is a scepter in the spirit. That's when God wills your generation to you. He said, until the time of John, the kingdom of God is free. A whole generation was wielded to John. It's beyond men submitting to you. It's to become a patriarch in a dispensation. And for such men, even in the New Jerusalem, they will be princes. The Bible says men will come from the north, the east, the south, and the west to salute Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So even in the New Jerusalem, There are princes there. Those are men of influence. They are patriarchs. God wills generations to them. How can a time be called the time of John? That means if you were born in that generation, you belong to John. You have become John's inheritance. That's influence. And if they wanted to check your record in heaven, they will go and open the book of John. Because your life is in the time of John. So John owns your dispensation. That's influence. It's beyond man now. It's in God. You have an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Authority is one of the greatest resources that a man can have. But it begins first by accepting Jesus as the Lord of your life. Secondly, by growing in alignment and obedience to his will. Thirdly, what's my third point? By bearing the burdens and the reproach of Christ. And finally, by honor, either honoring God or honoring men in authority. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, he said, "This charge I give to you, O son Timothy, that you may fan to flame the gift of God that came upon you by the laying on of my hands." In Deuteronomy 32 verse 9, he said, "And Joshua was full of wisdom because Moses, the servant of God, had laid his hand upon him." That's authority. Can you bow your heads this morning? Most of you here are already born again. The problem is the problem of alignment. You have disobeyed God too many times. So what I'm sharing is beyond Bible study, it's a life. I may say things that impress you, but if you go and you still don't obey, you will not grow. And some of you, you are running away from the reproach of Christ. I know people that when you say, "Let's do evangelism in their area," they will not come. Because they don't want people to see them carrying Bible and preaching. What? Carrying Bible. Me, these are young people. I'm not even talking about elders yet. A young man, he feels he's such a big person. How can he carry Bible and be walking on the street? For him, it's a big shame. He prefers to come to the altar on a double-breasted suit. And then he will use a baritone voice and say, "The Lord is here. The Lord is here. Holy Ghost move. Holy Ghost move." Meanwhile, the fathers that have done this thing for 40 years, they are still going to the street. But we can't bear the reproach of Christ. And there are so many people who are arrogant. Sometimes when I go on Facebook and I see what young men say, I become afraid. I wonder where they were discipled, that they are able to call the name of a patriarch and rubbish him because they have a page on Facebook and 200 people follow them. And then I see other gullible young men sharing those write-ups of indignation. But when you run your race and you have grown, you will find out whether the tokens of authority will manifest themselves in your life. Whether you have a name in this kingdom. Whether you will have men in this kingdom. Whether you have a grace. Whether you have resources, both spiritual, natural, and material, and whether you have influence. Those tokens are testimonies that you are a man of authority. It is my prayer this morning that every young person that have listened, that you will make up your mind to consciously commit yourself to growing in authority. Because whether your destiny will be actualized or not is dependent on the degree to which you grow in the ladder of authority. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Talk to the Father. Talk to the Father. Talk to the Father. Talk to the Father. I deliberately choose not to be charismatic, to bring you instructions that you will obey, not instructions that you will hear to excite you. And it may be just one point you picked is good enough, begin to work with it. And check your life after 6 months. You will be amazed the progress you would have made. I tell my friends, I tell people that I know, I say, Facebook, don't publicize me. It is God that noises the names of people abroad. He thundered from heaven. He said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. If there is no commandment for your generation to hear you, carry out all this tongue. If you like, go to the biggest television station in the world. The day they are airing your message, nobody will be online. Because this life is manipulated by the politics of heaven. And that's why we must allow.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website or rocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.